Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Someone's moved all my jingles. Who moved my... Did you... Have you been on my iPad? Did you move my jingles? I don't want to throw a diva strop. That's not my style. But you moved my jingle. Oh, God. Hello there. Welcome to the podcast. The new look, bright and breezy, easy does it now with added aspartame. This is the new look podcast. It's only happening today, this week. But, my God, do I have a show for you? Kind of. Scrabble around. We're going to be controversial for coins later on. I see that the strap on the YouTube channel has updated that for me already. Without my asking it to. It's going to be a little ropey, I'm not going to lie to you, as I try to configure all of this. Coming up, we've got John Holmes, Paul Dunphy off of Larry and Paul, and Nat Tapley, among others. But first of all, well, it's my delight. Where's the jingle? Where's his jingle? Nobody knows. Where's the jingle? Mate, I can't find your jingle. I'm sorry.
Sing the jingle.
Oh, no one wants that. Nobody wants that. Where's the goddamn jingle? Oh, I'm sorry about that. It's the one and only Mick Wright, whose voice you've come to know and love, and who I'll let you see on YouTube now. There he
Sing
is!
Sing the jingle. Sing the goddamn jingle.
I can't remember how it goes.
Okay. So, right.
I mean, I can find it. It's just, I mean, I'm going to require
you to make the 90s hard house version now in penance.
Oh, God. Oh, please, no, God.
Yeah, because I regret asking you to do klezmer music thinking I was being mean. And you're like, I love klezmer. Brilliant. Oh, there we go.
The papers pump out in the streams of hate. The fifth column's propaganda, they will propagate. But who can penetrate the ramparts of the fourth estate? Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy.
Hey! Well, that was slick AF. Good morning to you. How's
good morning,
it going?
Good morning.
How's the, the running?
It's good. Yeah.
Cool.
This running joke is, I mean, when will we put a bullet in the head of
this,
the running joke?
Done running joke. I don't know. I'm sort of imagining.
Never.
At some point you saying, why don't you come over and see me? And it will end at 2 a.m. with me crying, digging my own shallow grave in the middle of a turnip field somewhere.
Oh, and good. Glad you're in an upbeat and optimistic mood this morning.
I'm in a really good place.
Really ready to experience me dragging you down by talking about the British media.
It's my dream, and it's come true. Yeah. So, columnist, it was the valedictorian column from Thingamy Hadley.
Yes, Hadley Freeman. Hadley Freeman. Because this is one of my... whenever I say it's one of my favourite things, I actually mean it's one of the worst things in the world, which I talk about a lot. But as of next week,
yes,
The Guardian on Saturday is glomming together the Review, The Guide and The Weekend magazine into one single magazine, which, thanks to the creativity of many branding consultants, they're going to call Saturday. And in that mag, and because of this, what I love is readers get told, this is great, what we're doing is we're making it much better for you by getting rid of three supplements you like to make this one mega supplement. But really it's just cost saving.
Yes.
It's cost saving. Fewer people will get to write for it. Fewer freelancers will get money out of them. And the ever diminishing pool of writers who have to write everything in The Guardian will have to write these things. I'm sure we'll get more Adrian Childs since, you know, he is the boyfriend of the editor, which is a helpful way to get work in a national newspaper these days.
He moves about. I thought he was going out with Catherine Tate. Is that all finished? I'm very...
No, he's going out with Kat Viner, who is the editor of The Guardian.
Do they have to be called Catherine? Is that his sort of...
I feel that's his thing.
He can't be bothered to learn a new name.
He's a Catherine-ophile. Anyway, so because of that, Hadley Freeman, it also became time for Hadley Freeman to write her final column after 20-odd years of writing opinion columns in one way or another for The Guardian. And in writing that, she writes, she sort of repeated many, many of the myths of British column writing, particularly the one about how columns represent a spectrum of opinion, which is great myth.
That's it's quite a diverse, isn't it, pool of
Okay, here's a quick quiz for you. Can you name any national newspaper columnists with a regular national newspaper column who are black?
In the 80s, in the Mirror, Victor Lewis Smith had a column and he had dreadlocks.
I wonder where that was going.
Nicely refrained. I haven't got my my swear tone yet, so don't.
And then there's a part of it where she talks about, there's a Vice documentary from 2016 where there's a section of it where Jeremy Corbyn is complaining to Seamus Milne, formerly of The Guardian, about a column that Jonathan Freedom wrote about him, and she writes that he rages in this clip. Now, you could go on YouTube and see this clip. Now, there are many things you can say about Jeremy Corbyn, and the British media has pretty much said all of them. Mm. But one thing he doesn't really do is rage. If you've ever seen him, he sort of goes from irritated to peevish. That's sort of his kind of spectrum of annoyance. So he's sitting there raging in it. It's not like him turning into the Red Hulk and sending homemade preserves flying. But it's interesting because basically what she's saying is, I'm watching this clip from this...
Should we hear the clip?
I can document. Yes, sure, go for it.
Here is the clip, I think.
A whole lot of it, you know. He's not in a good way at all, but he seems kind of obsessed with me, you know?
Whoa!
So the sounds there of a raging man, of a man out of control.
Yeah.
But she uses that to say... Well, look, this is representative of how you as a columnist are not allowed to say what you like these days. You have to, you know, you'll be criticized and dragged down. But really what this is, and it's regularly put out there by columnists, usually under the rubric of writing about free speech, is even back in 2000 when Hadley Freeman started writing columns for The Guardian, it was a lot harder for readers or anyone to say what you're saying is rubbish. You know, they could say it maybe in a comment section or whatever, but social media wasn't as large as it is now. But, you know, 2005, Facebook starts, 2008, 2009, Twitter starts. And suddenly, you know, it's a lot harder to just sort of say whatever you like and expect no comeback from it. And really what they're complaining about most of the time is, oh, I really don't like people disagreeing with me. It should be made illegal for people to at me on Twitter.
I'm not enjoying this whole accountability paradigm.
Yeah, God, this is awful, you know. Yeah. And it's the same thing, like, you read many, many, many columns, for instance, like, the debate around trans issues, women's rights, and all of it is very complicated, right? But you need many columns by white, Oxford-educated people talking about trans people. There are no trans columnists, regular or infrequent, in the British press. But yet, we're told that there is this rabid... trans like pressure group type thing, and it's true, there are some people online who are pretty fervent of their beliefs, but no one has a national newspaper platform. But meanwhile, people who do have national newspaper platforms say, oh, these people are silencing me. And it's the continual thing of saying we're being silenced, but also that newspaper columns in any way represent a breadth of opinion. There are very few writers for national newspapers who aren't white. There are very few national newspaper writers who are under the age of 50. So it, there is not a plurality of views.
A little bit of a chip on the shoulder there, Mick.
Yeah, I'm desperate for it. I've got my own column that I do myself, and I can write what I like, and it's good.
Self-columnizing. But
that's the thing. And the other thing I think is interesting, and I wrote about on Sunday, is that a writer can move from the Guardian to the Daily Telegraph, or conversely from the Daily Mail or Daily Telegraph to the New Statesman so easily, right? One day they're one place and one day they're the next. And you can say, okay, well, that shows that they're flexible. But I think it shows that there's a homogenous quality to the British media, because it shouldn't be possible to one day be writing for the, you know, centre-right to far-right Spectator, and then the next week go, I'm now working for the apparently left-wing New Statesman.
Even best case scenario, what does that say about you as a person?
Yeah, in terms of your beliefs, in terms of what you actually, you know, I could see people going on a journey. Like, you know, there is Janet Daly, who writes for The Telegraph. In the 60s, she wrote for the radical left-wing newspapers, and she was a Trotskyist, right? As was Peter Hitchens, right? Yeah. And you could say, okay, well, they've gone on a very long journey from being barking in one way to barking in another way. But to do it like one day, leave on Friday, be writing for the Daily Mail, and then on Monday go and be a Guardian columnist, it just shows that there is no breadth of opinion. And actually, when you look at my friend Dawn Foster, who passed away not that long ago, she wrote a column for The Guardian in which she criticized Tom Watson. And Tom Watson basically phoned The Guardian up, and pretty shortly afterwards, Dawn was out of a job at The Guardian. So there is a narrow line of acceptable opinions for newspaper columnists to write. They act like that doesn't exist. They like, well, you know, nobody tells me what to write. They don't need to tell you, because you know. You know, like if you write for the Times, you are not going to say something that will irritate Rupert Murdoch. You will not. And people say, oh, yeah, but Rupert Murdoch, he's not my boss. You know, John Witherow, the editor of the Times, is my boss. He goes, yeah, but Rupert Murdoch is his boss. Right. Yes.
And does cascade down, I think.
Yeah. And it's like this notion that Murdoch doesn't get involved with the papers anymore. He does when he feels like it. You know, if they do like, why does a rich man buy a newspaper? He doesn't buy it for philanthropic reasons. It's like Jeff Bezos buying the Washington Post. People say, well, no, he did it to save that. No, he didn't. It's to do with diversifying the power you have.
Right.
So, you know, that's the issue. I go into this in much more detail in the column, but it bothers me greatly, the notion that columnists think themselves mavericks, but they are in a playpen. They can bash the toys against the edge of the playpen, but if they try and climb out of the playpen, daddy's going to come and drop them back in there again. Yeah. In this analogy, daddy being Rupert Murdoch, please don't have nightmares.
And you make the great point about how everybody quite chummily rubs shoulders at the press association dinners or whatever.
Yeah, and in green rooms and at literary festivals and at dinner parties. And then I've written several times in the past about the notion of the British media being sort of like, well, any media sort of being like professional wrestling, in that you'll see them debating each other on television and seeming, you know, to hold very contrary views. But it is a kind of performative, arguing, and then they don't really, you know, they could easily switch and hold the other view tomorrow if that was what was required.
Totally. Now, someone, though, who I would say has maintained a deep consistency from his early 20s onwards, I would argue, is Michael Gove.
Ah, yes. Mr. Michael Gove. Mr. Michael Gove, who was just being John Burko there. Anyway, Carol.
Everyone does a Burko, don't they? It's like it's like the new Kermit the Frog or Frank Spencer.
Yeah, the only way to do Burko is you have to say Mr. Peter Bone, and then it's a lot easier to do.
Mr. Peter Bone! Yeah, okay, fine. So I can't not do it, sorry.
Listeners, send in your Burko.
I asked everyone to do their chicken sounds, because I feel like everyone secretly thinks they can do a good chicken impression. And no one did. That's fine. No. I don't care. Michael Gove.
Michael Gove.
What's going on with Michael Gove? Because I didn't read your thing this
so,
morning. Because I was
so Michael Gove has been. Are you aware what his department has now been renamed?
Well, I remember someone did a column that I think you quoted where they did this very laboured thing about the mihi bihi hohi pohuho abbreviation.
Yeah, I didn't quote that.
It was so bad.
I didn't quote that part of that column, but I did quote that column. Yeah, so he's now the Secretary of State for the Department for Leveling Up, Housing and Communities, which, as I've said in the newsletter today, sounds like an insult combined with a sneeze, if you abbreviate it, Duffluck. Yeah. Minister of State for Duffluck, Michael Gove, who 5 days ago... audio of him in his early 20s and mid-20s, in fact, making homophobic, racist remarks, sexually harassing the then president of the Cambridge Union on microphone. She's now a fellow Tory MP. That came out, was in the headlines for about a day. And then the following day, he was promoted to this new super department. Mm. So, yes.
Leveling up, but not for Northerners, right?
Yes, exactly. He had said that he talked about Margaret Thatcher's policies producing a new empire in which the happy South stamped over the cruel, dirty, toothless face of the Northerner. Amazing. And that was in 1993. So
wow,
yeah. Yes,
I'd say different times,
but it's important to remember he was young then, and we should forgive him for that. But if but you cannot apply that argument to Shamima Begum, who was groomed as a 15-year-old girl.
That's very different. Wow!
Imagine
what Oxford College did she go to? Well, then. Yes.
So the column today is basically about how he's covered in the press, and what we get generally is he's talked about as a sort of a cross between Francis Urquhart and Superman, like this incredible political operator who stabbed Boris Johnson in the back. Well, he didn't do a very good job, did he? Because Boris Johnson is still shambling around and is now, in fact, Prime Minister. Yeah. And Michael Gove is like his little yapping dog.
Like the idea if they really went like really gangster and started kind of limping around in tracksuits.
Oh, it'd be amazing. So there's a few things here. One of the reasons that Gove has to be talked about like this is Gove's a former journalist. So journalists love the idea that they may have transferable skills and that they could go from a mediocre mid-tier columnist to become a mediocre mid-tier minister, putting their wild policies into action. The other thing is political journalists who essentially are just gossip columnists with uglier people to write about need to sort of make it more exciting. So they make everything sound like it's a Mario Puzo novel, you know, all knives in the back and horses head in the bed. Yes. But actually they're talking about very deeply boring transactional people. So when you look at Boris Johnson and say, well, why is he not still angry with Michael Gove? Well, Boris Johnson is essentially like, he's like a Russian doll and you keep going. And then in the middle, there is just this echoing vacuum in which, you just hear the sound of a small boy demanding to be world king. So to Boris Johnson, he just thinks, oh, yeah, Michael did that once, and I'm now punishing him by making him responsible for all the ludicrous things I promised that we can do that won't happen. And this levelling up agenda, which you hear the media talk about constantly, as if it actually means anything. It's up there with Red Wall. How will it play in the Red Wall? What is the other one that I was talking about before as well? Build Back Better. You always have to say, Build Back Better for whom? The people's priorities, they say. What people and what priorities? These questions I don't hear the media ask very often, maybe Channel 4 News now and then. That's where we are with this. It's Michael Gove once again. He was called the Swiss Army the Swiss Army knife of ministers, which... I don't mind as an analogy if we agree it means... he's a tool who never does anything more than a half-assed job, should be stuck in a drawer, and would be best put to work removing stones from horses' hooves. If that's what they mean, then I fully endorse that analogy.
Amazing. Mick, everyone should go and subscribe to your newsletter. It's brokenbottleboy.substack.com. One of the few addresses I can actually remember. What I can never remember is the Instagram account of the Vegan Life magazine podcast.
Has the address for my newsletter become like the phone number for Television Centre?
Yes, 01800.
Everyone can remember. There
yeah.
You go.
Brilliant.
In case you want to phone up Five Star and abuse them on a phone.
Yeah, well, you could, yeah. Direct your Five Star invective towards Mick. I'm sure he'd enjoy it. You're at Broken Bottle Boy on Twitter, and you'll be live on Twitch at 1?
I'll be live on Twitch at 1. I've been up since 4:30, so I'm going to have a nap before Absolutely that, or amazing. I will be completely unhinged.
It's going to be perfect. I'm looking forward to it. Mick, thank you as ever, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye. You can WhatsApp JKF on 07862 032 654. Yes, you can, because, well, it's time for Britain Awake. I'm very excited about it this week. We sort of slightly tweaked the format a little bit. We're all too acutely aware here of cancel culture, yeah? And how a certain demographic you can't even say anymore isn't being given any meaningful platform in the media, provided you discount Piers Morgan, Rod Little, everyone on Talk Radio and GB News and in the Murdoch Press and quite a lot of LBC and BBC and that. So we've opened this humble platform up for some sensible, cool-headed debate where every opinion is heard and respected, except for all them new ones that we don't like. You can take part in this, 07862 032654. If you want to leave us, actually, a video message is ideal. You can do that on WhatsApp, right? You know how to do that. Of course you do. Like you do to your family, you know, with the funny dog. Do that with the funny dog. We got a funny dog video, but I don't have time to do that this week. I'm going to hold that over to next week. But thanks to Alex, I think, who sent that in. Because this week, we're talking about, can you even say it? Christmas. There, I've said it. I'll probably get shut down for that. Christmas. Tragic news that, you know, we could be in trouble with Christmas because there's a shortage of CO2, which means we can't gas the turkeys with this pseudo, you know, joke of having to do it humanely. What's wrong with just snapping their necks? We do it to the ones that don't grow big enough. So not enough CO2. And so I was asking what constitutes a classic British Christmas to you? What do you need? What's a Christmas dinner, you know, without a turkey and stuff? Time to be controversial for coins. First of all, though, I want to hear from some of the Billy Bunders, I want to hear from you. What do you have to say about all of that? And as you can see, this isn't quite working because I've got the wrong window up. That's Nat Tapley, who'll be here in a minute. But first of all, let's hear from you, the people, your thoughts on Christmas dinner.
This is Karen from Bromley. I'll tell you about Christmas dinners. I am fiercely, fiercely proud of my Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
We wait till after the Queen's speech.
Yes.
And then I'll tell you what we have. I mean, turkey, I don't even like the country. I don't care about the bird.
Right.
We have a pheasant, a British pheasant.
Thank you.
Stuffed with a British pigeon.
Thank
which
you.
Has been stuffed with a British grey squirrel.
Right.
Stuffed with a native Kent parakeet.
Lovely.
Stuffed inside that is a robin, a British robin, which in turn has been stuffed with a British stag beetle. That Heston Blumenthal.
Do Mrs. Britain Awake. Shall I give a big congratulations to Boris and the Conservative government for bringing back a P-realistic measurement.
Yes.
All part of our Brexit freedoms, isn't it?
Thank you.
Yeah, first we had the blue passports, then we had the pint written on the pint glasses with the crayons. I know what I'm drinking again, finally. Could have been anything up until now, gallons, litres. I'm not a rocket scientist.
It could have.
These things.
It could have.
Get the pounds and ounces back. Not in any way await secretly hard price hikes on goods and services in some way. Boris wouldn't do that. He's looking out for us. All part of rebuilding the empire. So, you know, first is that. Now we'll start invading countries again and taking back what was ours. So, for the Indians, the Africans and the Americas. So I see you in the world wars that are to come. Cheers, Boris.
Yeah, well done, son. Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed to all of you who got in touch for the free content. That has allowed us to save ourselves a few pence, which we can now use to pay otherwise cancelled individuals to be controversial for coins. Let's start off with some top punditry from Nat in Surrey.
Jake, I must say, I'm a little upset at having to talk to you about the idea of a traditional British Christmas, because you, of all people, should know that there is no such thing. Christmas is a European import brought to us by the likes of Barnier, Jacques Chirac and St. Miletus, sent to convert the Britons by Pope Gregory. There is no such thing as a traditional British Christmas. Traditionally, we have Yule. That's our tradition. That's the British tradition. Right. It was taken away from us. No longer can we celebrate Yule. We now have to celebrate the fact that some Middle Eastern deity impregnated some underage child, forced her to give birth in an unsanitary shed, and then murdered all of the toddlers and babies in Bethlehem.
Absolutely.
And then
disgusting.
then after that we have to worship some Judeo-Palestinian nomad who wants us to share everything. Does that sound like a British holiday to you, Jake?
No, it does not. Thank you very much.
It's all about family and it wasn't all about family and friends traditionally.
No.
It was an opportunity once every 9 years to sacrifice all of the male slaves. We don't get to do that anymore. Loony left councils have seen to that.
It's coming back.
Go and get a permit for it.
Yeah.
We used to sacrifice fattened bulls whose cries would waken the goddess Freya.
Wow.
And now we have dry turkey and breaded Iceland prawn rings.
Speak for yourself.
No, Jake. We used to have Yule and Pukki who came in the night to kill the evil children and steal them away. And now we get Father Christmas who brings presents.
Unbelievable.
He's got a belly that rumbles like a bowl full of jelly, not a belt rattling with the femurs of the unfit.
Thank you.
Oh, Jake, you can keep your traditional British Christmas and shove it up your arse. Bye.
Thank you.
As a nation, one thing we've been lacking over recent years...
It's Paul in Leeds.
...is inclusion of the Queen, Her Majesty.
Thank you. Finally.
God bless her, in Christmas Day. So, traditional British Christmas for me...
Yeah.
Wake up. Quick singing the national anthem.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank Her Majesty for allowing us to live another day. A royal breakfast, kedgeree.
Lovely.
The other royal foods.
Yeah.
Quick pop to mass. Mm-hmm. Church. No, there's Catholic rubbish. Church of England.
Thank you very
Praise
much.
The English God.
Yes. Proper one.
Then maybe after mass, a quick tipple, you know, like a...
Yeah.
I've heard Her Majesty very fond of a Dubonnet. And tonic.
It's a bit foreign, mate.
Well, one of those. Another little sing of the national anthem.
Thank you.
Then Christmas lunch.
Yeah.
A crown of turkey. All right? Royal.
Correct.
Respectful.
Thank you.
None of this vegan rubbish.
Yeah.
Turkey.
Too right, mate.
And also, not halal. All right?
Okay.
This is Britain.
Yeah.
They must be executed in the British manner. Hmm. The turkeys must be... dispatched through firing squad.
Fine.
We must maintain tradition. Christmas lunch.
Yeah.
Done. Another little singing the national anthem.
Quite all right.
For dessert.
Yeah.
Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
Shaped into the face of the Queen Mother.
That would be my dream.
Let's bring tradition back.
Second
Another little singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
Watch the Queen's speech, which should be written into law.
Yeah. At gunpoint, if necessary.
Respectful minute.
Yeah.
Of silence afterwards.
Yeah.
Then you sit around the table and discuss it as a family. What's on Her Majesty's mind? What's bothering her?
I wonder what is bothering her.
Then watch a Bond film.
Thank you. Can't even say that
Another
anymore.
Little singing the national anthem.
You know, who's James Bond?
My thing.
Yeah.
Just bring the Queen back into the fold because
well
she's been
said,
out of it
mate.
Too long
well
when it comes to Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Just the Queen, mind, not the whole royal family. Mm-hmm. Not Andrew.
Yeah, maybe swerve that.
Not him.
Okay.
But the Queen.
Yeah.
Traditional British Christmas.
God bless her. Can't even say that. Say the Queen.
So this year's going to be it.
I want to say it. Merry Christmas.
God save the Queen.
Merry Christmas to you, mate. Let's hear from John in Kent.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ah, the traditional British Christmas. Now, you'd expect me, wouldn't you? You'd expect me to say, well, I don't want any of that dirty foreign muck
coming over here.
The tradition of Christmas is German or something, is it?
Yeah.
But no, we British invented it. We invented Germany first and foremost,
yes,
right?
So without us, they probably
wouldn't even have invented Did they invent Christmas? I don't know. Doesn't matter, mate. Turkey. You'd think I'd want turkey, wouldn't you? Because it's a traditional white meat. But no, I say this. I say, no, don't want turkey. I don't want any dirty foreign Turkish turkey coming over here anymore. Right, we've had enough of it. Right, Brexit means Brexit. And that means we cut off ties with Turkey. Right, Turkish delight? I don't think so. Turkish bag of gobbling shit. More like, isn't it a big foreign bird?
Well said, mate.
It's meat.
Finally.
Right, so no, here's what I suggest, and this is going to kill two birds, not literal birds, I'm over turkeys, kill two metaphorical birds with one stone, right?
Yeah.
What we need for a traditional British Christmas now is eating immigrants, okay? One, keeps the numbers down. Two, it's a brown meat, isn't it? So that way, you can't say I'm racist, because I'm happily eating brown meat brown, not white, like a turkey.
Yeah.
So you lot there who say that, you know, this is racist. It's wrong.
Yeah.
It couldn't be further from the truth, right? And furthermore, right, immigrants, hang them from the tree. Kill them. I mean, just like decoration. So we decorate, perhaps dress one as an elf or something. You know, the immigrant on the shelf. And then hang them from the tree alive.
Yeah.
I mean, if one dies, that's just, collateral damage. But if we basically use them as what I'm saying is, let's have a traditional colonial Christmas. That's what we should do. I'm dreaming of a brown Christmas, and it's immigrants that we're eating on the table with apples up their bums, hanging some on the tree. What a lot. Maybe throw a couple on the fire. What a lovely, lovely, warming Christmas for all, right? Mm. Don't hang them to death. I'm not a monster. Just hang them on the tree for decorative purposes. And when they run out, let's eat vegans. Because as I've said before, I'm going to say it
again.
That's
not even controversial. I'm having that.
Because they're grass-fed.
That is
what I want to see as a traditional Christmas. Now on, is it? How much am I getting for this?
Controversial stuff,
is that?
£4, £5.80.
Put some coins in them. Yeah. Controversial for coins.
There you go. John Holmes there. Never afraid to push an envelope. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Anyone else gone blind in one eye? Lockweem. Some nice reaction coming in on YouTube. Don't forget you can watch this show live. It's youtube.com/nottodaypod. Jem says, all together now, Jake's getting banned from YouTube. Yeah, probably. Neil says, I love big foreign birds. Anything going south of Nottingham is quite hard. Rick says, oh, God, that actually made me laugh. I can't even repeat that joke. Oof. Jem says, my kids must sing the national anthem, even the verses no one bothers with anymore, before they open each and every present. Quite right. Owen says, it's not Christmas if you don't sing the national anthem at least twice. Pablo asks, clothed or unclothed for the Queen's speech? Barney says, unclothed in our family. Gentlemen, the Queen. Pablo says, just like God intended, we have to be as naked as the day we was born in front of our elderly sovereign. We'll do a Twitter poll. Is that not today poll? We'll ask clothed or unclothed for the Queen's speech. Be good to know. Well, thank you very much indeed for that. Really, really reached the outer limits of the envelope there. We'll ask another question next week and you'll be able to respond on 07862 032 654. Why don't you put that in your phone now, and then you'll be ready next week when you need to be. We were asking last week about songs that were out of tune. And we've had some nice input from you. Jane, she's emailed. It's nottoday@swanburst.com. She's two words, Spice Girls. If you need me to be more specific, says Jane, here's three more. Posh Spice, Horrendous. I've heard worse. You know, I have heard worse. Martin, he's heard worse. He says, hi, Jake. I'm excited to trawl the memory banks for out-of-tune songs, a favourite genre of mine, and maybe also Cousin Davey. He says, here's one to be going on with. It's a version of Spinning Wheel by Mel and Dave. Enjoy, sort of. Brothers and you'll never know. I mean, to be fair, that's coming off a record player. It's a little bit of wow and flutter there. Not an awful lot of wow. Martin's got two more for us, though. He says, here's some more tune-averse music. What the hell is wrong with the Rolling Stones here? Oh, OK. That I know I must be right is the singer, not the song. I think that's probably fair. That was definitely the singer. And you know, the guitars could do with the, I mean, it was in tune when they bought it, wasn't it? And then Martin says, this has been bugging me all day. I've literally racked my brains. Oh God, don't do that. To try and remember this. What song or who it was by? I even tried Shazam, but it couldn't help. Late this evening, I reckoned it was a James Brown track, and playing some YouTube playlists eventually led me to this singularly awful bass line to The Boss. Let's have a listen. We'll have a listen to some of this. This is like the middle eight I chose. It's probably... Feels like the batteries are going, doesn't it? Do you remember when the batteries are going on your Walkman? I remember I had one of my favourite albums was Humans Live by Howard Jones. And but it would always kill the battery in my Walkman. I think it was released on Chrome cassette. That's all just a bit dreary, isn't it? It's just slightly depressing kind of timbre to it. Now I can sleep. Says Martin. Well, good for you. We can't, not without screaming. And there's a great email from Pat who says, hi, guys. Well, to be honest, I'm not certain this is 100% accurate, but I kind of hope it is. Oh, I like a nice apocryphal story. When David Lee Roth, spandex sporting hair care specialist and excellent showman who fronted Van Halen in its earlier lineup, was in the studio recording a solo album, oh, they're always very good, aren't they? He employed a small orchestra for the full Hollywood big band sound for one track. The jaded and rather aloof classical players looked at the rock singer with something less than high regard. They were dismissive of a petulant, generally making the process of laying down the track awkward and not much fun. But Mr. Lee Roth, is a pretty smart fella and thought of a brilliant way of puncturing their bubble of starchy ego. The assembled string section started up, and after a bar or two, David acted all distressed and told them to stop and try again. And so off they went once again. After half a minute, he said, "No, one of you guys is out of tune. I'm not recording substandard music. I don't care who you are. Start again so we can get this fixed." They started again, and Diamond Dave pointed at first violin and barked, "It's you! You're flat on the top string! Can't you hear it?" The violinist checked, and sure enough, he was out of tune. The violinist returned, and a good take was recorded. Job done, and Mr. Roth had gained due respect. Unbeknownst to them, at lunchtime, Dave Lee Roth snuck into the studio and detuned the top string of that instrument a tiny bit himself. Genius. "Okay, a bit underhand," says Pat, "but hey, it worked. If he'd not pulled this stunt, the session would have taken far longer and would have cost him thousands in fees and studio time. Moral of the story? Well, don't underestimate your fellow artists, even if you know nothing about them. And secondly, remember to check your bloody tuning. Are you listening, cloth-eared guitar players on YouTube?" Sorry, bridge too far to hope for. Anyway, bravo, Dave, well played. Thanks very much indeed for that, Pat. I love that story. I think it's unlikely a violinist at that level would tune his violin and then go and have lunch and then come back and pick it up. You know what I mean? And think, oh yeah, that'll be fine. But, you know, it's fun to believe. And we've got a little bit of any other business. As you know, I dare say, we're starting a new podcast. Me and Dave are properly spinning off your cousin Davey. We're going to make this new podcast called Oh, the Off Freaks. Doesn't really work. It's fine. We're just going to go with it because, you know, it's all sorted out now. Hannah says, "Dear Jake and cousin Davey, after hearing the exciting announcement of a new podcast, my first thought was, how will the listeners self-identify?" Of course. The Yapostles. I mean, that's just a not today thank you thing, isn't it? The Yapparat Chicks. So if it's called Audio Freaks, as in frequencies, doesn't work, what are we going to go for? Hannah's got three suggestions. The Frequentlies? A bit too much like a question about our bowel movements.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Freakettes. Bit too much like a 1960s girl group. Or the Frequenters. Bit too much like we lurk around dogging sites. I mean, are any of those so wide from the mark, Hannah? Anyway, I'm sure we'll sort something out, says Hannah. Hashtag our word, not yours. Take care and stay safe, Hannah. Thanks very much indeed, Hannah. And thanks to all of you for your contributions. Thanks so much to Pablo and Julie for their WhatsApps. And thanks to my other contributors, Nat Tapley. He's at Nat on Twitter. Paul Dunphy, I think he's at Mr. Paul Dunphy OBE on Twitter. And at John Holmes 1 for effectively shutting all of this down. There's absolutely no way, I think, we can hope to come back from this. Okay, weirdly, I mean, genuinely, someone has messed with all my jingles and now I can't find, I can't find my closer. It feels a bit pathetic to ask you to just wait here while I try to find the jingle just to fire it in. But I think that's what I'm going to do. It's been a great podcast. I've had a great time. I'm going to miss you, you know, across the week. But, you know, you've had a packed show. What can I tell you? Don't forget, it's nottoday@swanburst.com if you want to email with anything across the week. Any new story you thought was interesting? Or any controversial for coins things that you'd like discussed? We are at NotTodayPod on the Twitter. And thanks very much to all the Patreons who support this. It's patreon.com/NotTodayPod if you'd like to support the podcast. There's loads of benefits and stuff. Anyway, have a good week. Bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.